All right, our reading will be taken from the book of Acts, chapter number 4, starting at verse number 13. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, starting at verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to turn and look your neighbor square in the eye. But as you look in your neighbor square in the eye, I want you to put your Bible down, your iPad down, and I just want you just to hug yourself. As you look at your neighbor, hug yourself. As you look at your neighbor, hug yourself and say to your neighbor, neighbor,
less
of me.
Neighbor,
less
of me.
Amen. We have entitled our message this morning. Thank you. Less of me. You know, I've gotten myself into trouble. Because there were times in my life, because I don't think I'm stupid. But what can happen to us is that when we think our intellect is what's going to win us through, because I know I'm not stupid and the things that I do with or used to do with IT related stuff, I always would rely on my intellect to get me through. But as a child of God, brother had to realize and recognize when I came to Christ, because I shared the story with y'all about how when I first got licensed in St. Paul's Baptist Church of Montclair, New Jersey, it's a nice sized church, it's a big church. And whenever I was worship leaders, I told y'all how folk would get so excited because it seemed like I knew how to get folk excited. But the one time I told y'all how I messed up because I was always getting folk excited, it was coming to me, yeah, you know, we enjoyed you leading us in worship. Yeah, I got that. And then that one Sunday they asked me to worship leader, and it wasn't my turn, but I'm like, that's all right, I'm going to do it. And don't you know, everything I did that day came out wrong. Because I was relying more on me. You see, I want you to know, if we're going to truly be the children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it's got to be less of me and more of him. Because where we mess up, no, not you, where I messed up, was that when I had too much confidence in what I thought I was capable of doing, God had to hurry up and let me know, bro, this ain't the IT world. You are in God's house. I am the one who has blessed you. I'm the one that healed and delivered you. I'm the one that delivered you from sin. I'm the one who opened doors for you. I'm the one that blessed you. I'm the one that woke you up this morning. I'm the one with you right now. I'm the one who's been keeping you through each and every moment of your life. And I want you to know, if you think it's all about you, let me show you how it ain't. So now that we are where we are, now that we have embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, it's got to be less of us and more of him. Sister Sarah, I brought y'all in somewhere near the end of the story. So I got to go back now and just give you what's called the catch up. The catch up starts now back in chapter number 3, starting at verse number 1. And when you get a chance, read chapters 3 and 4 to get the whole story in its entirety. Because what had happened was that Peter and John, Reverend Dab, were on their way to the temple to pray. And before they got there, there were some individuals that had brought a man who was lame from his birth, Reverend Rhodes. So every day they brought this man to the temple because they figured if folk going to come to the temple, them are the good-hearted folk. And the good-hearted folk will definitely give some alms to a man who had been unable to walk or been lame from birth. And they put him right next to the gate called Beautiful. But what I find very interesting about the story, and this is just a side note, if they were really concerned about the man, why didn't they take the man all the way in to the house to see what God can do for the man? But all they did was gave him something which was a step below. But let's look at this. And as he was there, and as folk were coming in, he asking for alms, and folk would give him alms. But then Peter and John, on this particular day, they come walking in. And the man who was there begging for alms was looking, and he knew for a fact, uh-oh, here comes some more. Somebody going to give me a hookup. But as Peter and John were walking in, they fixed their eyes on the man, and they said, yeah. Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to rise up and walk. Now, imagine how foreign these words were to this man who had never before in his life ever stood up because he was lame from birth. He felt that this was his situation and it was never going to improve. This is all he could ever expect, is for people to pick him up, take him, drop him off, pick him up, take him back. That's all he ever thought. He looked at others with good legs and were able to move around, but he never imagined, Brother Walter, that he would ever be able to walk like them. So he felt that it couldn't happen to him. All he could ever expect to do was stand there and let folk throw some coins to him. That's all he thought he could get out of his life. But then this is what happens. Because Peter and John came and said what they said to this man. He was able to rise to his feet. But then I got to stick a pin there for a second, because I wanted you to understand something. When Peter and John first came to Jesus, I don't think, Deacon Jones, that they ever thought that they would be in a scenario that they could say to a man, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. When they first had their encounter with Jesus, I don't think they were able to see that far ahead. But I want you to know that when you put your hand in God's unchanging hand, you might as well go on and expect God to do the unexpected. But in order for God to do the unexpected, it's got to be less of me. We all know about Peter and what Peter said when Jesus told him what was going to happen to him. Peter said, I don't care who leave you, Lord, I ain't going nowhere. You see, Peter was talking because he wasn't talking about less of me. He was talking about more of himself. And the Lord had to let him know, bro, let me knock you down a few pegs before the crow speaks. You're going to deny me three times. So we see this brother that went from that to where now he's talking to a man who had never walked, who is now looking at them indecisively, heard the words that they said. But in order for him to get up, he had to feel something happening in his body. He had to feel some strength come in his legs. He had to feel some bones popping in his legs and the strength come in his legs. And I could see Peter reaching out to him and say, come on, bro, get up. And then all of a sudden he had the strength to get up. And you know what happened once he got up? He went with them into the temple. And you know how he went into the temple? He went into the temple leaping and praising God. Did y'all hear what I said? He ain't wait till he got inside. He went in leaping and praising God, because he knew what the Lord had done for him. And when he got inside, he was going to truly praise God even more. How often do we get excited about coming to church? How often do we feel like, Lord, I can't wait to get through the doors. But before I even get through the doors, I'm going to praise you right now. Because I know what you brought me through. I know what you've done in my life. So even before I open up the door, Lord, I'm going to just say, hallelujah. Less of me. And once they went into the temple, everybody on the inside knew this was the same man who was sitting before them, lame, feet probably curled in, legs probably turned. There was no way that brother could have been faking that for all them years. So when they looked, they were amazed that this man who was lame was now standing and praising God right there in their very presence. They saw all of that had taken place, and Peter saw this. Y'all, everybody say opportunity. I want you to know the Lord will create opportunities for you to speak on his behalf. The Lord will create an opportunity for you to tell somebody just how good God is. The Lord will create an opportunity for you to help somebody who is lost. The Lord will help and create the opportunity for you to talk to somebody who's been blinded by sin. The Lord will create an opportunity for you to let somebody know, I don't care how toe up from the flow up you are, I serve a God who is able to take you just the way you are and turn your life around. He'll do the impossible with you. You know why? Because you're looking at somebody who God also already did the impossible with. You see, because it's less of me. So when Peter saw this opportunity, because folk knew what this brother looked like, and now they're looking at him now, Peter said, oh, I got to talk to y'all now about Jesus. Brother began to preach right there and let them know that there's something that had happened, and it all happened through Jesus Christ. And that he is the one who came to make a difference in our lives, to heal and deliver us, and to set us free. Y'all still hear me? No, but it ain't. My mic ain't working. I got to go here. So Peter said, all that taking place, I want you to understand something. That our God did the amazing thing, and it created the opportunity. And as Peter was preaching and folk got excited, I want you to know anytime you're doing something for the Lord, everybody ain't excited with you. You don't believe me? Look around. Because what you have to understand is this, that when you start talking about Jesus, what you're letting folk know, that is less of me, and I want you to know more about him. Because the more that you know about him, the better you're going to be. The more you hear about Jesus, you'll stop using them drugs. The more you hear about Jesus, you'll start loving on folk rather than hating on them. The more you hear about Jesus, you'll recognize that if I trust in him and I walk by faith, he's going to make a way out of no way. When I put my trust in Jesus, when we let folk know that he is the way maker, he is the all in all, he is the good shepherd, he will make a way for you. He won't ever leave you nor forsake you. When you let folk know about the goodness, you're letting folk know it's less of me and more of him. Isn't that why we're in church today? It's because of the fact that it's more about him and less about ourselves. You see, just even with right now, what I just had to deal with, you see, all the enemy wanted me to do was be distracted. You see, but the one thing that we ain't going to ever allow ourselves to do is be distracted. Because we understand that we've lived a life of sin. And that life of sin had us distracted for a very long time. Amen? But now that we have Jesus, we understand that the Lord has brought us too far. And we ain't going to turn back now. I know what I used to be like. I know what I've done in my past. I know you all, your life, your whole life, you've been squeaky clean. I know you was Miss Prissy. I know you were a gentleman all the time. But that was not me. I wasn't always what you see right now. It's through the grace and mercy of God that I am what I am. And it's because it's less of me. So as he was preaching, the leaders of the synagogue, the high priest, came up in there. He went and got the captain of the guards, angel, and they brought a few guards in. What did they do? They grabbed Peter and John, and they took the evidence also. Because they didn't want to just take Peter and John and leave the brother who had been lame and now walking there in the midst. You see, because anytime you leave a blessing in the presence of people, people will want to know, how did that blessing occur? And can I also get that same blessing? So they removed Peter and John and took the blessing of the Lord out the temple.
All right.
They locked up Peter and John that night. And as they locked up Peter and John, the brother who was lame and who was now walking, they put him away too. But they didn't lock him up, but they just put him away because of the fact that they did not want the blessings to be out in the open. You see, I want you to understand something, y'all. If I can give you a side note here. Anytime the Lord is blessing you and has blessed you, all the enemy wants you to do is hide your blessing. But if you are a child of God and you realize it's less of me and more of him, I ain't going to be quiet in how God has blessed me. I ain't going to be quiet in what the Lord has done for me, because you just don't know what he brought me from. And by me sharing what the Lord has done for me, I am helping somebody else. I'm releasing the power of God into somebody else's life. I'm letting them know the same God that did it for me is the same God that'll do it for you. And that's why we ain't gonna hide no blessings. So what has happened? They put them away. So that next day, what they did was, whenever the rulers or the Sanhedrin interrogates you, what they do is they place you in the center. Stand up for a second, Deacon Booth. They place you in the center, right? And as you're in the center, then we all surround you. So you can see some of us, but some of us are behind you asking you questions. Thank you. You may be seated. That wouldn't make sense then. You see, so when the Sanhedrin interrogates you, you can see some of them, but you can't. But they're just asking you questions, Deacon Wiley. And what they want you to do is to be afraid. They want you to know that they are large and in charge. They want to strike some fear in your heart, Brother Elwood. They want to shake you up and cause your knees to knock. Because when they start asking you questions, you all of a sudden supposed to just shiver and just break down and say, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. But if it was left up to them, and Sister Davis, if they were operating under their own power, they might have broke under the pressure. But what they realized was, it's not about me. Because when I was doing my own thing, I could fish all day and I could fish all night, and ain't nobody gonna bother me other than just buy some fish from me. Are you following me? But what happened in this situation is that they realize the reason why they are where they are is because they have been lifting up the name of Jesus. I want you to know, when you lift up the name of Jesus, there might come times when it feels like the Sanhedrin and enemies have circled their wagons around you, trying to put fear in you. You got to remind yourself, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. So when you understand that it's less of me and more of him, then you're able to stand up and say, Lord, let thy will be done. I've come this far by faith. Lord, I've been leaning hard on you because I realize I can't make it by myself. But now that I've put my trust in you, there have been times I felt like I couldn't take another step. But even when I felt that way, I still felt myself moving forward. And then my mind goes to that poem about the footprints in the sand. When the person said, Lord, there were times I only saw one set of footprints. That must have been the time that you left me. But the Lord said, I didn't leave you. I just picked you up and I just carried you forward because it's less of and more of. You see, Brother Botts, when the Sanhedrin saw Peter and John, they saw two uneducated, ordinary men. Depending on your translation, it might say ignorant. They thought that when they looked at these brothers from a distance, Sister Aurelius, some folk will look at you from a distance and think they've got you all figured out. You see, the reason why they knew they were uneducated is because they knew for a fact they did not go to their theological institution. And the reason why they were just ordinary, because they don't have on the apparel that we have as the Sanhedrin. So they are uneducated and just ordinary. But what they don't realize is that for 3+ years, these brothers sat every day, ate every day, walked every day, went everywhere with Jesus. So for 3+ years, Jesus spent his time teaching these brothers, and these brothers were adhering to what the Lord was saying and realized what John the Baptist said. When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he can. And what these brothers have come to realize, if I'm going to be used and blessed by him, that I must have less of me. So from a distance, the view that the Sanhedrin had of these dudes, they're just ordinary, ignorant dudes. We're going to intellectually chew them up and spit them out. We're going to make fools of them real quick. But the one thing that these same people didn't realize, that when they had dragged Peter and John away, they had also dragged away the blessing and the evidence of how the Lord was working. But they had forgotten about all that, and they began to interrogate Peter and John. And they said to them, under whose authority do you do this work? Some are talking it from the front of them. Others are shouting it from the back of them. They're supposed to get riled because they can't see everybody. But folk are talking. How can I stand here and not be afraid? But those brothers stood there with holy boldness. And as they stood there with boldness, they said, I want y'all to know, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you guys rejected, God has made the cornerstone of the church. And it's under his authority that we've done all that we have done. It is not about us, but it's all about Jesus. You see, my brothers and my sisters, whenever we are in God's house, wherever we go as God's people, we need to have less of me and more of him. We have to understand that the reason why the Lord has touched us is so that we can touch other folk and let other folk know that the same God that has brought us a mighty long way, who turned us around, who kept us in our right mind, who healed us out of those sick beds, who allowed our families to still be together, who watched over our children and kept us going. I tell you, we want them to know if God did it for me, he will do the same thing for them. Do I got a witness in God's house? We ain't trying to puff up ourselves. We want to lift up Jesus, because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men, women, and children unto myself. If we just abide by that principle, and we are, watch and see where we're going to be in 6 months. Because we're holding Jesus to his word. Peter and John were holding him to his word. And when they had begun to talk and they were speaking in boldness, these brothers who were surrounding them, looking at them, realized something. Because it tells us in verse 13, they realized that they were uneducated and ordinary, because they were viewing them from a distance. But once they got up close and they heard them brothers speak, it tells us in that same verse, they were amazed and they recognized them as companions of Jesus. I just like the way King James says it. They knew that they had been with Jesus. You know, I want you to understand something. You can't be around somebody as long as they were around Jesus and not allow him to rub off on you. You see, I want you to know, if you're a child of God and you are in God's house right now, there ought to be some evidence that you have been rubbing up against Jesus, because folk should be able to see Christ in you. But hold on, if I was to ask the question and had you look in the mirror and say, what did you see? I'd get a whole lot of different answers. But if I said to you, how come you didn't tell me you saw Jesus? I don't know what Jesus looked like. So how am I going to tell you that I see Jesus? I know what I look like, and what I'm showing you and what I'm telling you is what I see. But the truth be told, that folk will view you more through the words and your actions, more so than what you look like. Right. You've seen, now Reverend Dab, we both married right now, right? But there have been some times we've seen some young ladies back in our single days. And we saw some young ladies, and they weren't hard on the eye. But when you got up close and started talking to them, they were ugly. See, Deacon George up here laughing. You know what I'm talking about. There are some folk that, you know, and Reverend Dad's like, oh, she was fine, but Lord, that girl ugly. Because of the fact that your actions and your speech have just made you ugly. You see, and I want you to understand something, that when folk look at us, they ought not to see no ugly in us. Right. Oh, somebody going to work with me. Touch your neighbor, say, neighbor, stay with us. We don't want folk to see no ugly in us. I know we ain't perfect. Hear what I'm saying now. I'm not saying put a front on. I ain't saying fake it. Every now and then, you know, we do stumble. Come on now. Sometimes our emotions don't get the best of us. Can we be real today? I know we're holy. I know we're in church on Sunday morning. But every now and then our emotions catch us. And that's when we got to get them back in check. But as we are growing and it's less of me, we have less episodes of our emotions getting the best of us. So when folk look at us as Christians, they ought not to see ugly. They ought to see something that's beautiful. They ought to see the glory of the Lord in how we live our lives and how we interact with folk and how we care about people. We know we want folk to know that we have a Savior who loves the entire world. We have a Savior that cares about everybody. So since we have a Savior that cares about everybody, we can't go do cherry picking and saying, you can be a part of our church, you can join our church, you go away. Maybe we're going to put you on a trial basis. I want you to understand that ain't how the church operates. Because we understand that we serve a beautiful God. Yes. And as we serve him and as we rub up shoulders with him, as we study his word, as we get involved in church, then I want you to understand the beauty that the Lord has begins to rub up on us. And don't you know that when that beauty rubs up on us, it allows that beauty to come out of us. So when folks see us, they see less of us and they see more of the Christ who we serve, because we want folk to see Christ and not necessarily see us. Less of me. So from that, when these brothers realized that they were companions of Jesus, Deacon L, what I want you to know, them dudes looked at each other and said, here we go again. We already crucified Jesus. They talking about he was resurrected. We ain't believing that. But here we go again. And what has happened is that they recognize that these men were companions of Jesus. Not because they all were from Galilee. Not because they were all fishermen, because Jesus was a carpenter. They recognized that he was their companions because of the way they walked, because of the way they talked, and how they weren't scared of them dudes. Did you hear what I just said? They were not afraid of them, because Jesus was not afraid of them. They spoke with boldness. They were not afraid of them. They know that whatever they do to them, it wasn't going to hurt. Because they knew for a fact that to be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. So even if you go on and kill the body, I'm going to just leave here and go be with Jesus. But if you don't, I'm going to still be here doing what Jesus is calling me to do. Because whether I'm here or I'm with him, the Lord is with me wherever I am. So I am excited that I am a child of God, because I know that the Lord is with me. Is the Lord with you? And if the Lord is with you, shouldn't the people of God be excited that the Lord is with us? Hasn't he been blessing us? Hasn't he brought us through some dark times? Hasn't he brought us through some hills and some valleys? I want you to know that's how come whenever we come in God's house, we don't ever sit here and act like we ain't got nothing to praise God for, because the Lord has blessed us to see another day. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody not ashamed to thank and praise him? He is a mighty good God. I say less of me and more of him. That's why I give him all glory, honor, and praise. All right, but hold on. Let me finish up, because it's time for us to wrap this up and move on home. You see, check this out. It's one thing that they saw less of them and more of Christ. But the one thing they could not dispute, no matter how hard they tried, was right there, Reverend Dab, next to them. Stand up. What right there next to them was the evidence of what Jesus had done. And it tells us in verse, thank you. And it tells us in verse 14, it says, when they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in what? You see, when you are truly being about our Father's business, and it's less of me, there's going to be evidence all around us of how the Lord is blessing us and how the Lord is using us. And I want you to know, those who are your opposition, can't say nothing about it because the evidence is all around you. And you know what? And it doesn't give you the big head. All it does is cause you to praise God that much more, because the Lord saw you fit good enough to use you to be a blessing to somebody else. Don't you know, when it's less of me, then I recognize that when God blesses me, I am blessed to be a Did you get that? So I want us to know today, you've come a long way. And the Lord is going to take you even further. And you know why you've come this far? Because it's less of me and more of Him. That's what God wants His people to know today. When He wants to use you, you got to do like Jesus did. Because when Jesus was in the Mount of Olives, when He knew without a shadow of a doubt, He already saw what He was going to have to go through. Deacon Diane, after He saw all that He knew He was going to have to go through, He went and He prayed. Yeah. He said, Father, if it is Thy will, take this cup from me. You see, that was the humanity welling up in Him. The humanity in us don't want to have to go through a whole bunch of stuff. But then when He pushed Himself out the way and that divine spirit came forward, it said, nevertheless. Nevertheless, let Thy will be done. And He went to that cross for you and I. And as He went to that cross for you and I, He died on that cross. They put Him in the tomb on Friday. He stayed there all night Friday, all day and night Saturday. But early on Sunday morning, He got up with all power in His hand to let us know that He now has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And nothing can keep us down when it's less of us and more of Him. There's nothing that can stop us from doing what God is calling us to do, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I say less of me.